Your dog's ready for one more block. Your knees, not so much. Time to call Joint Relief Institute. Fast, non-surgical knee pain relief. 708-888-0000.
A small clip from a documentary about serial killers, and that's where we're going right now. There's an exhibit that we'll talk about during this conversation, but first let's meet John Borowski. John, what is your title? Do you have one?
I go by filmmaker and author because I've been producing, producing and writing books on serial killers for the last 30 years here in Chicago, and I'm a Chicago native.
So is that your only scope of documentary or book writing is serial killers, or do you branch out in some other areas too?
It's mainly, it encompasses true crime, but I mainly focus on serial killers. Yeah.
So when I heard about this, I have to tell you, in all honesty, I'm saying to myself, well, you know, I was in Chicago and I was working. I've been working long enough that I was here when the Gacy thing happened and the Bundy thing happened. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. Do I want to talk about this? But there's obviously a interest, let's put it that way, including yourself on that very subject. So can you tell what's coming? What is coming to town? You know about this, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm involved with this. They call me one of the scientific consultants, most likely because, you know, I've done these documentaries and studied serial killers in that precision way. And it's called the Serial Killer, the Exhibition. And it started overseas in Europe and it was here in Atlanta beginning in February. And now it's coming to Chicago on September 5th at CineSpace Studios. And it's you know, anyone that's fascinated with true crime, and a lot of people may be put off by the subject, of course, but it's an experience. It's serial killers from around the world. It's criminology, history, psychology, and all authentic items. These aren't just gaffes or just pictures of serial killers. There's Dahmer's glasses and the prison Bible he owned, Gacy's prison typewriter and television. There's artwork from serial killers, legal documents. It's really fascinating. And it's not just about that sensationalism. You know, it's just like any other sort of, you know, exhibition you might want to go to, like a Stranger Things exhibition, it's very definitely remembering the victims. And, it's fascinating. And ever since that Mindhunter TV show came out, true crime has been huge. And it's really, you know, burst onto the scene and people are fascinated by the subject.
You know, that's exactly what I was going to bring up, is the prevalence of series, documentary, real-time, real crime series now being played on a variety of networks, social platforms, Hulu, I think, Netflix, I can't remember all of them, but every time I go to one of these services, there's at least a couple of things that are of that nature. So I know that there is a audience for this and an interest for this. And so I'm not trying to belittle it in any way. As a matter of fact, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? I can get into this. My curiosity, I think, apart from the actual memorabilia, if that's the right term that you have, is that you've been doing this for 30 years. Is there something about serial killers or something about Dahmer and Bundy that are A, similar, or B, different?
Well, you know, when serial killer profiling began and the term serial killer was created, they all thought you could put a blanket over all these killers. Mm-hmm. And they said, Well, every serial killer, remember, had to be a bedwetter or fire starter or cruelty to animals. But then we found out that wasn't true. And you had to study these serial killers each on an individual basis. And personally, I found that there's something in their childhood, in their formative years, that created them. You know, we still don't know exactly exactly why they would say brain damage or, you know, some other issues they had. But, you know, when you look at the childhood of these serial killers, there's not always an abuse, like a physical abuse. There are different types of abuse. You know, Dahmer, I feel, was an emotional abuse. You know, his parents were kind of tuned out. How do you not know your teenage son is an alcoholic in high school? You know, the mother was on pharmaceuticals. The father didn't pay attention to his son, so he kind of went in his own fantasy world. You know, and then you've got like John Wayne Gacy, you know, and Bundy was very similar to John Wayne Gacy. Both had violence in the household when they were children. They both put on a facade of being a nice guy, earning the trust of their victims. You know, they were both on death row for a long time. Bundy was 9 years. Gacy was 14 years. So there are similarities sometimes between them, you know, whether it's a sex crime or other type of crime, but they're all different and unique in their own ways. And, you know, Dahmer, I found very fascinating because, you know, I respected him because in the end, he did tell the truth. He didn't hold back anything. He said, here's what I did. Here's who I did it to. And I published his complete confessions in a book called Dahmer's Confession. And, you know, he gave that closure to the victims' families, at least knowing, okay, here's what happened.
Speaking of Dahmer, I'll get back to this later. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So this exhibition is coming to, did they save his brain or am I just a false memory? Did they save Dahmer's brain? They did, didn't they?
Yes, they did, but eventually I think they destroyed it. Now, they saved Gacy's brain, and they studied his brain. Of course, you know, with a dead brain, what can you learn? And they found there was nothing abnormal, you know.
Well, there are ways of investigating certain things in the brains of people who have passed on, but obviously no red flag there in any of the instances that says, oh, here's the key to the serial killer part. Is there any one thing that you don't have to answer this because it may be impossible to answer. Is there any one thing that you think motivates these people into quote unquote serial killing as opposed to just, you know, I'm going to do a murder here and a murder over there and then I'm done. But in these cases, I'm going to expand. I'm going to get a lot of victims. Is there something about them that do they not have a sense of right and wrong? I mean, what's going on?
Well, yeah, they definitely don't have that. They're termed sociopaths for a reason. And they get off on power, domination, and control. Mm-hmm. You know, some things they may not have had in their life as children or growing up. So, you know, what do? They take it out on defenseless victims. And that's usually the through line with these serial killers in that, you know, they can have that power. Like Ted Bundy said, you feel like God when you're looking in their eyes when you're killing them. And that's, you know, ultimately the sad thing. Yeah, yeah. And it's an addiction. It becomes an addiction for them because they enjoy it. They realize, hey, I could get away with this. And, you know, at that time, what they called the golden age of serial killers, which Bundy was a part of from the 70s to the early 2000s, you know, there were many, especially in the 70s. There were no cameras around. They could do whatever they want, kill, you know, 25, 35 or more victims. And there was no traces of it, you know, and law enforcement couldn't do anything because there was no DNA typing. You know, the Chicago cops get a bad rap for Gacy, but really, what could they have done at the time? There was nothing they could have done. They were looking at physical files and card catalogs. They had no computers. They did investigate. They did go out there, but you go to Gacy's house, you know, and he's got everything, you know, thing nice and in order, and there's nothing wrong there. Yeah. There's nothing they could do, but they did investigate.
There's no giveaway in there.
Correct.
John Borowski is with us. He's a documentary filmmaker and author dealing with serial killers and is going to be part of an exhibit, Serial Killer, The Exhibition, which is coming to Chicago shortly. And we'll continue after this on 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
720 WGN with John Landecker at At the point in the program where we're going to continue a conversation with John Borowski, who is an author and a documentary filmmaker specializing in serial killers. And there is an exhibition coming to town called Serial Killer, the Exhibition, as he said, opening September 5th at CineSpace, the Chicago Film Studios, with over, here's an interesting thing, 2,100 authentic artifacts. How do you get those? Where do those come from, John?
Those come from private collectors, you know, actually like myself. You know, I don't collect, you know, it's a negative term. They used to call it murderabilia, you know, which was, you know, we call them artifacts because that's actually what they are. But, you know, it was a negative term created at first. But through my journeys, I've collected things like when I produced my miniseries on John Wayne Gacy, the John Wayne Gacy murders. I went to the Hillside Cemetery and I took rubbings of the unknown victim's grave because when they buried the Gacy's unknown victims, they would just put a gravestone there that said we remembered, and the date that they were buried. And so I made some of those rubbings, so I'm donating one of those to the exhibition. So it's all private collectors from all around the world. There's 150 killers featured from 25 different countries in 5 continents. It's 11,000 square feet. It's massive. So it's not just U.S. serial killers. It's worldwide. Of course, U.S. has the most serial killers in the world.
We're number one. We're number one. Yeah. It strikes me too, not so much maybe in the, well, you can correct me. Not, I think it's not so much in the John Wayne Gacy, but in the Ted Bundy case. Didn't he get married when he was either on trial or incarcerated? And then his wife gave birth to a child. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, there's some talk about that. I know, you know, Richard Ramirez, one of the serial killers, he was married when he was in prison. This happens a lot because, unfortunately, there are people that want to marry these serial killers because then guess what? Well, now they're the star. They're the celebrity because, look, I've married a serial killer. So it's always interesting, you know, the psychology of these people that follow serial killers. You know, I found people think that everyone that's interested in serial killers are live in the dark basements and, you know, they're creepy. And, you know, it's not. It's wide range. There are people in law enforcement and forensic psychology. You know, when I go to, I do conventions, and when I have booths, sometimes, you know, people will come up with their young daughter and say, hey, we're worried about her. And I say, well, no, nurture that. She could be a future forensic psychologist or an attorney or a judge. You know, we need people to study these serial killers.
This is going to be a little weird, but that's okay. Is there a point that a murderer crosses the line from being, I'm a murderer, to I'm a serial killer? I mean, is there a number? How is that name put on them?
Yeah, that term was created in the 1970s by the Mindhunters, Robert Ressler and John Douglas. And at the time, prior to 2005, it was three or more victims hunted usually within a certain locale. So it was definitely, you know, a selected victims being hunted as a predator would hunt them. But after 2005, they changed that definition to two or more victims with the possibility of killing more. And some believe, you know, there could be someone that killed one victim but had an intention of killing so many more. And that's the difference between mass murderers. You know, they'll take out all these victims at one time, like a Richard Speck, some of these other shooters.
Yeah, he just recently died in prison, I believe, and I remember seeing his evolution of humanity, so to speak, his physical appearance while he was incarcerated, and it was pretty distasteful. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, it was. You know, and you know, like I said, unfortunately, the Midwest, I think the Midwest and the East Coast have the worst serial killers. You know, we've had H.H. Holmes and Dahmer and Ed Gein and John Wayne Gacy. And, you know, it's, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the extreme cold and the extreme heat in, you know, L.A. I don't know.
What do you hope, if anything, people take away from this exhibit? They go through the exhibit. What do you think? Did they learn anything? Is there something you want them to be aware of?
Yes. You know, again, there's stories beyond each of these items that are on display there. And, you know, it's everything from a history of criminology, and which includes a history of the world. And it also encompasses, society in general. You know, how do your neighbors react to these things? Yeah. And learning about these cases as well as the victims. You know, at the end of the exhibit, there's a wall with all the names of the victims that are featured in the exhibit. And there's 1,115 names just on that wall, just from that exhibit. You know, and again, if we could prevent these things from happening in the future, and if people could be interested in criminology and research these cases and possibly stop these serial killers and find out why they're being created initially, I think that's a great thing.
How many serial killers then are responsible for the 1,119 names?
Oh man, there's 150 killers featured in there. Okay. And like I said, you know, there are big names and lesser known serial killers, you know. So, of course, being in Chicago, two rooms that are concentrated are on H.H. Holmes and John Wayne Gacy. He's got two rooms at the exhibit as well. It's a wide range from, you know, serial killers. It's like an exhibition. Yeah. It's like an encyclopedia of serial murder with killers from Tokyo to Chicago. It's really huge.
Will you be making an appearance there?
Yeah, I'm going to be there September 5th. You know, a lot of my friends and acquaintances are definitely going. The tickets are selling out fast. And again, I think it's just a fascinating exhibit. And it's pretty, everyone's interested in true crime. And I would highly suggest just go and check it out. You know, and again, it's not creepy. It's very, you know, it's a safe space. It's welcoming. There's a ton of information. And these are all original, authentic items you're looking at.
Well, John, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a very enlightening conversation, and I hope the exhibit is extremely successful, and good luck on whatever book or documentary you're working on next. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John.
You betcha. John Borowski.